Thank you very much. I wouldn't say I'm well travelled. I'm just a chauffeur. I'm a taxi driver. If anybody wants to know anything about the itinerary of my holidays, please speak to my wife. She can give you a spreadsheet. She can give you a breakdown. She can tell you exactly how it goes and how much she researches. As Anna said, I am a teacher. So when I say this now, depending on how your last five, six weeks have been, if you've got kids, this next week is either going to be 7 more days. Just got to get to the end. Or it might be, yes, structure, organisation, we've got routine back in our lives. So for the last 2 weeks, myself, my wife, my 4 kids, and our dog this year for the first time in a car that, if you have had any conversations with me or my wife over the last few months, on a weekly basis, literally weekly, I would turn up to Jackson's. If you know Jackson's Garage, this isn't an advert. They've not told me to do this. They are ace. Down at the dip, they have looked after our car so much. Week by week, we did wonder whether we'd get there. So much so, when we were on the way to France, I messaged Cookie and a couple of the other people in church and my mates and said, genuinely, I asked this, can you please pray for our car? Because I am going uphill with my foot to the floor and we are slowing down. The car was not going fast. So we've had quite a bit of adventures. We went to the west coast of France. We then spent 2 weeks in Cornwall in a really small van. Thank the Lord, the weather was really nice. Because if you've got young kids or you've got kids, Dad, he's looked at me. I know. I can't stop them looking at you. I can't stop them doing anything like that. I can't stop them touching you because it's in a really small space. Can we just get on with this? Or you're not going to the arcade. You're not having ice creams. Dad mode came out at some points in that way, as did teacher mode. But whilst we were in the car, it gave me the opportunity just to talk to them about maybe what they did on kids camp this summer while they were away. And it also helped me kind of reminisce about my childhood just going on holiday, because one of the major things that was causing us an issue before we went away, and I will get round to this in a bit, I apologise. One of the major things that caused us an issue before we went away was the air conditioning broke. In our car, oh, I know. So Timu was inundated quickly for hand fans, for neck fans, for whatever we can get. But when I was a kid, air conditioning didn't happen. You just open the window and the air conditioning. So we went back to the 80s and the 90s in the car. And while we were talking, they were talking about prayer and the things they did on kids' camp and talking about prayer. And then we talked about my primary school. We started to talk about how their primary school, when you go into the assembly, and Mr. Jarvis, if you see this at any point, I apologise now, he was the headmaster. And every time we went into assembly at school, either Ebony and Ivory was playing on the CD, on the tape, Mr. Jarvis would press play and Ebony and Ivory would play, or From a Distance by Cliff Richard. From a Distance, You Look Like My Friend, all of that. And it got me to then started thinking about when we went into assembly, and I know Jason Manford did a bit on this, about the Come and Praise, the blue book. So I thought, I'm going to buy one and have it up here. And so you can remember the songs like If I Had a Hammer and Shine, Jesus, Shine, and what was the first one? Morning Has Broken. All those songs. And I looked up for it to buy it, but it was like 50 quid to buy a book. So just go on Google Come and Praise, and you'll see it. I'm not paying 50 quid. For an example of stuff. And as we were going through, we were talking about it. And we just started to talk about, well, how does you say the Lord's Prayer at school? And I work in a Church of England school, so the Lord's Prayer comes up every time we have communion. And the words slightly change. But as I was looking at it, I actually thought, that's what I'm going to speak about today. Not necessarily the Lord's Prayer and how we pray, but the Lord's Prayer and how we maybe apply it to our lives on a day-by-day basis. Because in the Bible, in Matthew 6, verse 9. If you've got your Bibles or your phones, you can turn to it. If not, I will just read it for you. It started to say about how you pray. And then again, we were talking, it got me thinking about how we pray sometimes as a family. And growing up with my kids now, we try and say prayers most nights. Now, my eldest daughter, when she was younger and we used to pray, I think that sometimes she used to use it as an excuse to not go to sleep. Because she'd start praying, and then she'd start praying for whatever was in the bedroom She'd start looking. Sometimes she'd get out of bed. And I'm like, I can't tell you off because you're praying. And I've asked you to pray and you know what you're doing. So you're taking your time and pray for the sunshine. I pray for the grass and just went through everything. Now, my youngest daughter, she says it a bit different. And this made me think every time she prays, it kind of challenges me. She goes, "Dear Jesus, I hope you've had a lovely day." Oh, I know, she's only five. And it made me think sometimes, do I go to God and pray, or do I pray and go, "God, I need this, 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 this. Please help me with this, 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 and this. Thanks very much. See you tomorrow. Amen." But she just goes, "Dear Jesus, I hope you've had a lovely day." And I actually thought, I wonder if he has. I wonder if Jesus has had a lovely day. And it just takes my mind in loads of different places. But then we get back to the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus says this from verse 9. He says, "This then is how you should pray." And we'll go through it, and hopefully most of you will know it from your primary school days. And if it takes you back to your primary school and whatever assembly, and I was trying to explain as well how people used to have a cane and things thrown at them at school, and that was completely alien to my kids. So if this triggers some PTSD from flying rubbers as well, I apologise now. It says this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts." I used to say trespasses at school. "As we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins." So all I want to do is quickly, because it was the church who added forever and ever, amen, at the end. I just want to quickly go through a couple of the lines and actually think, rather than just a prayer, how do we apply that to our daily lives? Because as you go through it, it does lots of different things. So it starts with "Our Father in heaven." That puts God in a place straight away as if to go, "Dad, you are up in heaven. I am down here on earth." And it just puts God in his place, and it gives a bit of reverence to it. Now, I don't know everybody's experiences of fathers in here. But I do know that in the Bible, in Psalm 103, it says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." So God, as a father, he wants us to do well. Doesn't mean he's going to say yes or want everything to happen. Because if I'd have said yes to every request my children have asked me in the last 2 weeks, I'd be bankrupt and they'd be seriously ill. Because they'll have just had so much ice cream, or so many churros, or so many waffles, or so many whatever as we're walking along. Can I have this? Can I go to the arcade? I didn't say yes to everything. But they know, because I'm their father, I can get them access to what they can't have. They cannot go and just get an ice cream. They have to come to me or my wife. They have to come to one of us. My kids know that I am their access to certain things just because of experience. They also know I can be a tight beggar and say no. But what my dad taught me, and as the son of Nelson and Janice Hogg, I know that if I went to my dad and asked for some things, he would say no to some things. But he always taught me this, and this is where you get to the point where you're turning into your dad. He always said, "Son, if you don't ask, you don't get." So I always knew that if I asked, there's a good chance my dad would say no. But every now and again, he said, "Yeah." And it was almost like he was teaching me to keep asking, because at some point, a yes will come. Now, and it's not always that he's going to say yes to everything I want, but he might say yes to something that he knows will benefit me. And if we do that with God, you might say, "God, why do you keep saying no?" And God might just be going, "Not yet." Or he might be just going, "No." And what I've tried to teach some of my children, some of them are better than others at this, I'm trying to teach them a bit of patience. And I actually sometimes said, "God, please help me with patience." So I've got 4 kids. So it's my own fault for praying that, isn't it, really? So those kids are testing my patience sometimes. But I know that they're doing it because they want to learn some more. They want to ask things. It also says this when we look at the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 12:50, it says, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Do we treat each other as brothers and sisters and mothers? Do we look after each other? And one thing that I've never realised until this week, and I've said this prayer thousands of times, as probably you have at some point, whether it's at communion, at a wedding, at a funeral, wherever it is, it starts with "Our Father." Not "my Father." Not your father, our. As in our, as a community. And I don't necessarily mean the community of the Bridge. I mean the community of AOG, of Anglican, of Catholic, anything. We can't look at other people and think, well, they're doing a bit different. No, God says from the very first line, our. How does it look if we treat everybody as our brother and sister? Now, I know that might be interesting, having had brothers and sisters in a car this week, how they've treated each other. But how we treat each other when the times get hard, do we help each other? The next bit. Hallowed be thy name. God sustains all things. Everything comes from God. We just have to remember that sometimes. And sometimes we can be a little bit apathetic about God. We can just think, oh yeah, when I need to pray, I can pray. When I need this, I can go there. And when I need this, there. And I can get to it. But do we live it and do we think about it in a daily life? The next bit is, I think, is where it starts to get a little bit tricky for people. If we were to apply this in our daily lives. Thy kingdom come. How does that look for you? Is it thy kingdom come or my kingdom come? In the morning when I set off to work, am I thinking, right, I've got to do this today, I've got this class, I've got this thing to do, I need to do this. Am I looking at building Rick Hogg's kingdom? Not necessarily for that purpose, but am I not thinking thy kingdom come? Because if I'm not thinking thy kingdom, I'm kind of just going to be reverting to my kingdom. And I don't need to do that, because if I can follow thy kingdom come, then life for the people around me will be better. Whereas if I'm focusing on my kingdom come, I'm just going to ignore maybe something that is going on over here. And I know we've always spoke from this platform about being interruptible. Having the ability to just go, right, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to pause because right now there's a need that I need to help. Because I can move on for thy kingdom come. The Bible is littered with stories of people who tried to build their kingdom. And sometimes they tried to build their kingdom at the impact of God's kingdom. Or sometimes they just went, I don't want to do that, God. I'm not quite doing that. You've got people hiding in the bottom of a vat out the way, not wanting to be seen. You've got Jonah legging it and getting taken in the belly of a big fish because they were going, I don't want to do thy kingdom at this moment in time. So we've got to be thinking about how thy kingdom come impacts us. And then it goes on, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Could you imagine in our surroundings, in our world, in our schools, in our jobs, in our environment, if we had a little bit more of heaven? And sometimes you might be that by making a meal for your neighbour. You might be that by just making a lasagna, putting it on the front step and just knocking on the door and saying, I've heard you've been struggling at night with baby. There's a meal. It might be you see somebody and you just go, do you fancy a brew? Or it might be that person you've not sent a text message to for a long time, or a WhatsApp message, or they've sent it to you and you just haven't replied. You might just need to do something so then we can help that person in that point. There might be somebody praying right now, and this is quite a literal example. There might be somebody praying saying, God, I just need this. And by you going, God, what's thy will be done today? And you responding, you're the answer to their prayer. And sometimes we just have to think, what if? And it's quite nervous sometimes. It's quite scary to just go, I'm going to take a bit of a risk. And if you take a bit of a risk and nothing happens of it, what if you lost? Nothing. But what could come from it? Things you don't even know. It might be a case of just sending an invite to somebody. It might be, ladies, you've not booked onto that fired painter pot. And there's only a limited amount of space left. It might be a case of you say to your friend, do you fancy coming painting a pot? We can go to this place. They're just going to have this. We're going to paint a pot. You'll get to take it home, I think, I hope, once it's fired. And they might just want an hour or two where they can talk, where there's no distractions, where they can talk to you. And in that environment, they open up a little bit more. Or it might be someone you're thinking about saying, I'd love them to come to church. But if I ask them to come to church, they might say no. Ask them to go and paint a pot with you. It's not going to make a difference to them. They might say, oh, brilliant, yeah, I really like that. When we were away, actually, digress, sorry. When we were away, there was a beach teams on the thing, on the beach, actually, where we were in St. Ives. And one day, the guy who was running it, he was a potter. And he was just making pots outside this church. And as people came by, he said to them, "Oh, do you want to help? Do you want to go? You can make a pot with me." And while they were doing that, he then said, "Oh, behind me in this church, there's free cream teas if you want." Loads of people were going, because a cream tea in St. Ives, it's a rip-off. It's about 10 quid for a scone and a cup of tea. But all these people were just going, "Yeah." But it took somebody just to stand there doing something, strike up a conversation, make an invite and say, "Do you want to come and do this?" And they did it. Because somebody was there just doing the normal stuff. They were just being normal. They weren't trying to do anything other than make a pot, come and have a go. And then Anna said, when she was introducing us about our world tour, our European tour, we went to France, and every day my son loves a baguette. He must be French, I tell you. Every day he would want to go to the bakery and get some baguettes for his dinner. And every time I think about him and his baguettes and this next part of the Lord's Prayer, it also reminds me of the Israelites in Exodus, because the next bit says, "Give us our daily bread." Every day we had to go and get these baguettes. Now, once or twice I thought, if I buy a load of those baguettes now, I don't have to come back at morning. Or if I went to Aldi and they were 35 cent a baguette, I could get three baguettes for the same price as one in the shop. So I thought, right, I'm going to get some baguettes for tomorrow and the day after. Yet for some reason, when we came to make the butty the next day, it weren't as nice. The bread had just lost that little bit of taste. And it reminded me of the Israelites when they got the manna in the desert. They had to go every day on a daily basis. If they tried to save it, it turned like had maggots and everything. So we need to go every day to God. And I'm rubbish at that. If I'm dead honest, my Duolingo streak is better than the amount of times I might interact with God. Because my Duolingo streak's nearly 200. Because every day it tells me, "Richard, you've got 5 minutes left to practice." And I get a bit panicky and I think, right, I need to do this. But I need to maybe spend a little bit more time praying or reading my Bible or listening to worship. I need to do these things because the Israelites were instructed to get it every day. Apart from the day before the Sabbath where they got enough to last both days. And sometimes we can try and live on yesterday's bread. We can try and live on what we picked a few days before. We can try and live on what we've eaten. Or there's a across the end of the roll that, if you're like me, you will eat it because it's been bought and you're not going to waste it. And you're chewing it and it's a bit rubbish, but you're thinking, "I've paid for this." But it's yesterday's. It's no good anymore. It's got to be something that we try and do daily. And then the next bit. "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Oh, this one's going to be hard for me. In Matthew as well, in chapter 18, verse 21, it talks about the parable of the unmerciful servant. And it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me?' 'Up to seven times.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you not seven times, but 77 times,'" or 70 times seven. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he has his wife and his children and all that he had been sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. He went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Then the other servants saw what was happened. They were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and, 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." We need to be able to practice this. Will it be easy? No. Is it something that can happen straight away? Probably not. But it's something that we have to practice, trying to practice. And the more you practice something, the more you try something, the better we become at stuff. So, for example, if you wanted to get up and you wanted to lift 100 kilograms straight away, one or two in here might be able to do it. But you wouldn't be able to do it straight away. You'd start with 10. And after a while, you'd maybe move up to 12. And after a while, maybe to 15. It's about a practice. It's about a habit. It's about keep doing something that just stretches you a little bit each time. But with God's help, we can do most things. Well, we can do all things. But sometimes it's us who puts the limit on what we can do by just saying, maybe not. And then the last two, if the band would just like to come up for me, please, and just do whatever you do. Tinkle the ivories, as they say. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How often do we try and avoid temptation? If we know something's going to be tempting that day, and that could be anything, it could be what we watch, what we say, what we drink, what we eat. It covers a plethora of things. Could be absolutely anything. Do we actively avoid it, or do we think, no, I'll be all right. I'll be okay. Do we do a bit like Samson did and think, no, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'll be okay. Or do we actively try and avoid something? What temptations are challenging us? And like I say, everybody in here, it can be completely different because everybody has their own different things going on. And how can prayer, how can living this help us resist them? And then what I want us to do, and I want us to do something practical now while the band play. I want you to either get a pen or a paper out or your phone. And if you've not got either of those, just hope you've got a better memory than me. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read through that prayer again. And if there's something that strikes strikes something with you, I want you to think about how this week can you maybe try and improve that or act it out in your world. So like I said, if I went through this prayer again, I know that when it says, give us today our daily bread, that's probably one part of that prayer that I need to improve. I need to maybe think when that little green bird appears on my phone, I either need to delete it and kill it, or, for those who don't know, Duolingo is a green bird, by the way. When that's coming on, do I think, right, am I going to go and practice my French now, or before I do that, am I going to open my Bible? Because I need to put things in priority. I need to put it in order. Now, is learning French a bad thing? Non merci. Hey. But if it's at the impact of something else that will be better for me and my family, then yeah, it is. So I just need to be thinking about that. So what I want you to do, I'm going to read through it. If it is that you thinking, I just need to maybe think about God in the morning before I get up, before I do anything, before I set off on my day. Even if it's in the car and you can be praying, right, God, what's your will for me today? Give me the opportunity today to be interruptible. Give me the opportunity to do something that is important to you and your world that will just have ripples, that will ripple now. Because I'm not 20 odd years ago, the man who was doing the pottery this week in St. Ives, 20 odd years ago, 30 odd years ago, I didn't want to say that because people will know you're a bit older than you say you are. So I was talking to my wife. 30 odd years ago, there was a man called Vinnie Commons who was doing something similar on a beach in Bentleck, just doing the ordinary. 30 odd years later, my wife, who was on that beach, who became a Christian after what was said on that beach, met this man again and was just talking to him. And this man who was doing the pottery, she had the opportunity. He didn't ask, he just said, oh, I've got a friend who 30 odd years ago was on a beach. Can you come and say something? So he's allowed to get up and go and stand in front of all these kids and talk about 30 odd years ago. Because 30 odd years ago, somebody was doing the simple. Somebody was doing the simple things that 30 odd years later has still got an impact. So you asking somebody to come to fired paint a pot and you'll get your pot after it's been fired, that might be in 20, 30 years, somebody saying, somebody asked me to go and paint a pot. It might be in 20 odd years, somebody asked me to just go for a cup of tea. I went somewhere. It might be my neighbour made me a lasagna and put it through the door because the baby was just crying all the time and I couldn't eat. It's the simple things that we can apply to our daily life. So, I might finish with this, taking you all back 20, 10, 60, 70 years to a primary school hall. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the next few minutes, take a moment, write something, think something, put it on paper, put it in your phone, set an alarm, set something. I have an alarm on my phone that says for me to do something on a weekly basis because my memory's rubbish. If it's a case of now, you have to get your phone out and go to the calendar thing and just put in 7 a.m. thy will be done. Repeat daily. It's done. If you need that reminder, so it's 7 o'clock in the morning, it just says thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive those. That's the kicker on that bit. We all expect forgiveness, but sometimes it's difficult to give. Thank you very much.